Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hop-Ons podcast. No John Phelps tonight. Unfortunately, he is sick. He gave it a go, but it just didn't work. It wasn't working. He has felt really bad most of the week, so we decided to delay our conversation about episode 21 until next week. So look for that in your feed next week. But we didn't want to skip a week and not have any content. So what you will hear in just a few minutes is a short essay that I wrote about Arrested Development. And I explain everything in the essay, so I won't say a lot here. But it's a little different, and I'm really happy with it. It's something I would certainly like to build on in the future, but it's also something that we've talked about in previous episodes. So we hope you enjoy it. I don't have a title for it. I'm not even sure what I'll label this episode. Obviously, I've labeled it something because you're listening to it, but we hope you enjoy it. And John, we hope you feel better, buddy. So look for our conversation about episode 21 next week. But for now, here is an audio essay about Arrested Development. As a child, I was sick far too often. My pediatrician's waiting room was like many. Mismatched blocks lined the floor. Chipped toys rested languidly in corner boxes, and books, so many books, covered every end table. My favorite book was Where's Waldo? And if you are unfamiliar with Where's Waldo, I won't attempt a description. Just Google it. Many children read these books, but my approach was different. Where's Waldo encourages active, ferocious engagement, and many children would read these books with military precision. Their concentration was weaponized in ways mine was not. By contrast, I read these books lazily. The images washed over me to the point that I didn't care if I succeeded in finding the eponymous Waldo. This is to some degree a lie. I had competitive moments as well, but I flirt with competitiveness the same way I flirt with religion or sports fandom, fleetingly and without conviction. However, thinking back on Where's Waldo, I realize how significant surprise and passive discovery was to me. I didn't care if I found Waldo because, to some degree, I wanted Waldo to find me. I believe profoundly great television is reducible to a single feeling, sensation, or aesthetic idea. Frasier, which we have spoken about before on this podcast, is built around confusion, willful confusion most of the time, and a sort of theatrical silliness. They make a show of it on Frasier. CSI, Bones, or any procedural is built around the twisting of the narrative string that inevitably concludes with an explosion of information and, by extension, clarity. For the longest time, I thought Arrested Development was built around the mockumentary aesthetic, best expressed in the work of filmmakers such as Christopher Guest, but I am rethinking this idea. We are near the end of season one, and I have come to believe that Arrested Development is actually about surprise and organic misdirection. Here, when I say organic misdirection, I merely mean a lack of artifice. As much as I like Frasier, the plots and conflicts for each episode feel contrived and inorganic. The show winks at its audience without necessarily breaking the fourth wall. Arrested Development is different because the show at its best is built around organic misdirection, resulting in delightful surprise for both the audience and the show's protagonist, Michael Bluth. This idea is visible in episode 2, Top Banana. Around the 3-minute mark, Michael is in the kitchen speaking to George Michael about the banana stand. Michael opens the freezer after his conversation with George Michael and finds a bag labeled "Dead Dove, Do Not Eat." Michael proceeds to open the bag without hesitation, which leads the audience to infer that he does not believe the bag's warning. To Michael's surprise, the label is not lying. There is, in fact, a dead dove inside the bag. Later in the scene, Michael interrogates his family in the living room. The camera leads us to think that Michael is speaking to Lindsay and Tobias, but once Michael mentions the dove, Job speaks. The camera cuts to Job lying on the couch. Presumably, he has been present the entire time. Job stumbles upon the audience in such a way to cast doubt upon the truthfulness of the show. However, this is not a problem. The show's joy and pleasure are visible in corners and nooks. After a few episodes, it is obvious that something always hides in these invisible spaces. On occasion, we are meant to see, and on other occasions, we are not. This, however, is not the only moment of organic misdirection in this episode. Throughout the episode, George Sr. insists there's always money in the banana stand. Michael, and by extension the audience, assumes he is referring to the banana stand's potential to earn money through a traditional capitalist paradigm. It is not until the end of the episode that Michael learns the truth of this refrain. George Sr. has hidden a substantial amount of money in the walls of the banana stand. Unlike the earlier example with the dead dove, this is verbal misdirection, not visual misdirection. However, this is not the sort of verbal misdirection visible in shows like Frasier, where we, the audience, clearly understand the implication of such verbal utterances. Like Michael, George Sr. confounds us, and it is not until the end that all is revealed to both Michael and us. When viewing Arrested Development through this lens, so much becomes clear. The show's greatest aesthetic accomplishment is not its decision to forego laugh tracks or multiple cameras. Instead, by using techniques such as organic misdirection, Arrested Development does for its audience what Where's Waldo did for me so many years ago.